In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our readings in the Easter season explore the meaning of what happened on that first Easter day and what it means for us today. The readings that we've just heard contain a whole bundle of major themes. We have judgment, suffering, discipleship, to name but three. And what is holding them together is resurrection. Paul's speech in Athens takes place at the Areopagus, where philosophers had debated, and the plays of Aeschylus were performed. Notice how Paul is concerned to build bridges by some classical quotations that would have been familiar to his audience. What's going on there is not that far removed from the sorts of conversations between Christians and people of other faiths and none that have taken place over many years. But Paul is saying that his Jewish Christian background tells him there is a purpose in the universe, unlike the picture given by the stories and legends of the unpredictable and irrational pagan gods. So when he's talking about this purpose, this is when he begins to talk about judgment, saying that God has fixed a time and he has appointed a man to do this task. There are lots of misunderstandings about what judgment means, what God's judgment entails. We may think of those medieval images like the one over the entrance to the Minster, you know, souls being sent up or down. No, it's too crude, too black and white. And so too are some Reformation doctrines of predestination and atonement. God's judgment is less about punishment. It's more about putting things right, restoring them to their proper purpose. When Paul appeals to the cultural background of his audience, he's not rejecting it, but taking what he finds, a general, if unformed, religious sense, and transforming it, taking it on and focusing it so that it can lead them towards the one true God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our day, even though we talk of a secular society, plenty of people have this same general vague sense that there is something, someone else up there, out there, that they can't quite put their finger on, an unknown God perhaps. They often say that they are spiritual but not religious. How can we help them to develop and take these feelings onward? Paul's approach in the Areopagus has something to teach us. And he goes on to talk about the one who is to bring about this process of transformation that he calls judgment. He explains that God has given us assurance that this event, this judgment will happen. His assurance is given by the fact that he has raised Jesus from the dead. What this means is that Paul and the early church were convinced that Jesus was the Messiah because of the resurrection. Because they knew Jesus had been raised, They knew that he is the one who comes to restore and put right by showing that he has defeated death in his own body. He shows what is the outcome, the purpose of all creation. God's means of restoring and putting the world to rights is not that of a Hollywood superhero who zaps the baddies with his powers, nor is it that of using armed force or economic pressure or any of the other means the world uses. God's way is a challenge to the methods of worldly powers and principalities. We do not see the ways of the Messiah of God's kingdom in military campaigns or in the war against terror. But we saw a glimpse in the overthrow of apartheid, where the world's moral opposition was fueled by an Anglican archbishop who spent 3 hours a day in prayer. Similarly, what gave the communist regimes in Eastern Europe their final push was the moral and spiritual authority of Pope, now Saint, John Paul II. And it was from people like that that others took courage from their example, their faith and their hope. Those situations could have easily ended in a bloodbath if other means had been used. But the way of Tito, John Paul and others is often accompanied by suffering. We may think of another religious leader, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. His imprisonment and execution may not have directly defeated Hitler, but it did give the German church and people a means to reset their moral compass after 1945. And Bonhoeffer suffered not because he deserved it, quite the opposite. His suffering was all the more powerful because he had stood up against wrong. As the writer of the letter that is named after Peter, that our second reading this morning, as he wrote, "If you suffer for doing right, you are blessed." And this brings us to that whole question of suffering. Why me? What have I done to deserve this? It is the classic argument against the existence of God, who is both good and all-powerful. And once again, it is the resurrection that provides us with the answer. And yes, it is not the answer you want when you are actually in pain and distress. Then you want someone to take it away. But all the same, it is God's answer, and it does make sense. He is both good and all-powerful because he alone can and will remake and restore creation. And because he does not reject creation, just as Paul did not reject the cultural background of his listeners in Athens, because God does not reject his creation, he is able to use it as building blocks for the new heaven and the new earth. Suffering too is taken up into this process and transformed. That is why, for instance, it was important that the disciples saw the body of the risen Jesus, that it wasn't just a spiritual experience, but the body, in some sense, was there, present. It had not been cast aside as of no further use or interest. Jesus enters the risen life with a body that has all the characteristics of his earthly identity, but yet is different from it. The same message is given to us weekly in our liturgy. The risen Christ comes to us in the form of created matter, ordinary bread and wine, which become something special and life-giving as they are taken up into Christ's story. In this transformation in our midst, our eyes are open to the possibility of discovering the presence of God and his ways among ordinary events and the people we encounter there. In the Eucharist, we make visible what Paul proclaimed at the Areopagus. In God we live and move and have our being. Or as Jesus himself said to the disciples, because I live, you will live. You will know that I am in you and you in me. What the resurrection of Jesus seems to be saying to us is that there is an answer to the problems of suffering and evil. It is an answer that does not rely on blind faith, but on the example of those who have held fast to God in their hour of need. They have carried on living godly lives in defiance of those who inflict suffering on others. In the end, it is the power of love and faith which defeats evil and which can bring new life, light, and creation into being. This is the victory of resurrection, a victory proclaimed on the first Easter day, a victory we see hinted at in many and varied ways in everyday life, and a victory that will be completed when God will judge the world, setting it right, and it will become a transformed world in which God will be all in all. Amen.